Welcome to episode 7 of the MGM podcast with Growing Media, Angie Wyatt, Lucas Winkler, and Rob.
Hey, are you nameless?
I know. Yeah.
Are you nameless?
Oh, yeah, and me.
And me, Marcus Taylor. Yes. All right, so we've decided the discussion today is what happens when there are big swings in the world and all around you, how do you remain steady?
I think that's the number one question going on right now.
How do you do it, Rob? You appear fairly steady.
I am self-employed and I have a partnership with a company such as Growing Media that works insanely hard to keep the clients happy and to give me work. That's how I do it. I just lucked into it, honestly.
I feel like Rob doesn't... You probably do, obviously, feel stress, but you are a very chill person, so I feel like you contain stress well.
I try. Sometimes it bubbles over, which some of us have seen a little bit. But yeah, no, I try. I keep it to where, like, nothing really... Like, if I don't have control of it, if I can't change it, there's no reason getting upset about it.
Yeah, that's kind of how I feel.
That's a great way to
Plus,
approach it.
Plus, I don't like being upset, so...
Yeah.
How do you contain it?
I choose not to.
Well, I think I've definitely taken, you know, some notes from you and from all of you, actually. I think if you think positively, inwardly, you have some peace that you don't have if you just stress and you're completely distraught over everything that's happening. And I've, you know, in this season, chosen to do the fast to clear my mind so I could think, and I'm asking for clarity. So when you're thinking clearly and you're attempting to be positive, it works out.
Yeah.
What do you do?
So I think two things for me that have been key, especially in the last year, because a lot of stuff has happened in the last year. I mean, holy crap.
A lot.
What went on last year? So I think for me, from like a year ago to now is like a total difference. And the biggest thing for me was I started to change who I was being internally to a mindset of like everything is fine. Everything always has been. Everything always will be fine.
Correct.
Everything is currently fine. And so there's no reason to stress, right? Because things always work out, right?
Always.
And if you're being that type of person internally, then you can then think through solutions to the problems that you have because everything's fine. You're not getting up in this, crazy mental state, crazy mental fog because you're losing your mind and you're freaking out and you're worried. Instead, you can just be like, well, okay, everything's fine, and let's work from that point. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. And then number two is taking 100% responsibility for your life, mm-hmm. which I think is a huge struggle right now for a lot of people. And I don't think it's their fault either. No. I think people have been raised to not. I've been told that, you know, a lot of things are not your responsibility, but your income, your health, your life is 100% your responsibility.
Mm-hmm. Totally. Mm-hmm. I couldn't agree more.
If you work from those two things, man, I mean, you can weather almost any storm.
Mm-hmm. That's something that I'm getting a lot from the people that I'm working with, with my weight loss and stuff like that. One of the things they were impressed by was they were like, you don't have any excuses whenever it comes to like, why are you overweight? Why are you this? They're like, you don't have any excuses. You're not like, oh, well, McDonald's smells too good or, you know, something dumb like that. I was taking responsibility for it. Mm-hmm. But if I do sometimes, you know, sometimes you kind of will waver a little bit where you're like, well, this issue caused it. And it's like, no, you have control over what you do. Mm-hmm. So that's what they keep coming at me with that. So they keep me accountable, even going with what Lucas said. For myself about being like making sure that I take responsibility for the decisions and the things that happen to me personally. Mm-hmm. So obviously there are outside factors sometimes, but it all comes back to how you respond to it and react to it.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. And I also think it's like you said, not worrying about things that you can't control, but right. Then really controlling the things you can control. That's how I deal with stress. You know what I'm saying? So I hyper focus on things I can control. Like I can control going to the gym. I can control having like quiet time in the morning or at night. I can control making sure everything's running smoothly in my life to where I don't have to stress as much, even though the workload might be a lot, which it always is for all of us. But I just take, yeah, like just like controlling those little details all the time. Like if I need to go to the workout at night for an hour and then sit in the sauna and de-stress, I do that, and that controls how I can be more productive later on that night. And then in the morning, those type of things all the time. That's what I do.
You just touched on something. It's really being action oriented.
Yeah.
Yeah. Because the most unlikeliest events that we go through send the strongest messages. Mm-hmm. And it should not interrupt what you're already doing for yourself, because I'm going to resonate what you guys are saying here, that you just keep moving. You keep doing what you're doing. Actually, when we have these things thrown at us, I think we need to do more. And I think we need to do more for others, because mm-hmm. when you know that you've got your life, you know, in check, and you're doing what you need to, look around you, because there are some people who perhaps are not that strong. They haven't figured that out yet. They don't have a game plan for their life. And if you can take 10, 15, 30 minutes to make a difference for that person, do it.
Yeah, totally. And that's what I did earlier with the guy that called me. Like I took some time out of my day to give him really great advice, because I don't know where he's at in his life. You know what I mean? He's trying to start his own business up. And I know these questions or these questions he was asking me. And I just give him, you know, value. And maybe that made his day better. You know what I mean?
Now, there are limits to that, though, because I've fallen into that several times with people in my past where I try to give too much, because they are the type of people who just like take and take and take and take.
Oh,
and
sure.
Take.
Yeah.
So you have to find that balance there.
Oh, definitely.
Because sometimes you're like, all right, listen, this, I'm going to have to cut this off at some point, because mm-hmm. it starts to drag you down with them. So you gotta be able to separate that.
Yeah. I think dealing with stress and anxiety also is strictly, and not all anxiety, obviously, some people have it way worse, but it strictly comes down to there's something causing that, right? So if you can identify what that thing is, this is what happens to me all the time. So, you know, I feel anxiety, and people probably don't think I do as much, but I totally do. But I just try to pinpoint exactly what that anxiety is. And if you just ask yourself and like think like, why am I feeling this right now? What's going on? Mm-hmm. And then you just directly attack that issue, then it goes away. And then maybe later in the day, something else pops up. You're like, I'm feeling anxiety. I don't know why I'm feeling this. Then you just ask yourself again, what is going on with this? And then attack that issue. And that's what I do like every day,
Basically,
7 days a week.
Don't settle to sit into that anxiety. Actually, like, be proactive and find out what's causing it.
Because the first thing you want to do when you feel anxiety is you want to procrastinate. It's just naturally. You want to be like, oh.
Yeah, because you're afraid of tackling what you need to tackle.
Yes, and it could be multiple things, but normally it's just one thing that's giving you that anxiety. Or it's multiple things where you're like, there's just too much to do. I don't know what to do. I'm just going to sit. And that's what a lot of people do. Yeah, a lot of people do that. But if you can just pick one thing or pick what's giving you the most anxiety, and then just attack that thing, get it done, and then move on to the next thing.
Now imagine if the anxiety is because you aren't doing enough, and mm-hmm. that anxiety is actually a call for action, mm-hmm. because everything created begins in the mind. You have to think about it, and maybe you're anxious because you aren't doing enough, mm-hmm. or you know you need to be upstairs, maybe helping your kids or loving your kids, and you're there on your phone, or, you know, you don't have a job, but what did you do today to get one? As long as there are checks and balances, I think a lot of that anxiety would go away as well. Because for me, you know, call it an intervention from above or whatever, but there are things constantly working on me where I have to ask myself, did I do enough? Could I do more? What could I do? Look around. If you haven't recognized the needs, you just don't have your eyes open.
Yeah, I agree with that.
For sure. And I adding to that too is because I feel like some of us get caught in the trap of doing too much, kind of like what Rob said. What I think is like sometimes I feel like some people are overdoing it to then avoid what they should be doing.
Mm-hmm.
You know what I mean?
Excuses. So you're
overdoing it in one area of your life, and it's obvious that you're overdoing it. Like, you know, you're doing way too much in that area, mm-hmm. because you're scared to tackle somewhere else. Mm-hmm. I've been caught in that trap so many times.
Preach it.
I'm going to expand on that segment just a little bit, or that tangent, to get us off track a little bit more. I do that, like, or I used to, whenever I was working from home, before I had the office that I set up here. When I was working from home, instead of going into my office and doing work, my home office, I would go do the dishes. anything. I would sweep the floor. Right. I'd be like, oh, I need to clean out my trunk. Like, I would find things to do that would keep me from doing the work, which I know it's not exactly what you're talking about.
No, but it's like literally exactly what I'm
finding,
talking about.
You find other things to do, even if you don't want to do those things. Yeah. You still find other things to do to keep from doing the work or accomplishing the goal that you had.
I think with that, too, you'll come up with a lot of excuses why you either can't do it or why you're putting it off. You're like, oh, I'm burnt out or those type of things. And I think it's always important to know that, like, yeah, you can overwork yourself or you can overdo things, but also you're not a candle. You can't burn out. You know what I'm saying? You can be physically tired, you can be mentally tired, but is your spirit tired? You know what I'm saying? My spirit's ready to go all the time.
Preach.
Like, it's on fire. You know what I'm saying? I'm always trying to push towards that. Yeah, when I'm physically tired, that's just a physical thing, right? Mentally tired, it's a mental thing. But when you can't be spiritually tired. You know what I mean?
Yeah, that's true.
You might interpret that as being spiritually tired because your body's tired, your mind's tired, but you're not tired because your spirit doesn't get tired. You know what I'm saying?
That leads me into an unlikely weight. Mm-hmm. You know, we talk about these events outside of our control and how it might impact us, and there happens to be some negativity associated with that. Many times people say, where is God? I've prayed about this. Why hasn't he showed up yet? You know, where is he? And that unlikely weight due to unlikely circumstances, too often people fail to look for the messengers or the things that he might put right there in front of you, because he knows, you know, if you're working towards that point of being burned out on something, maybe he wants you to change directions, because you are never tired spiritually. Yeah. You're right.
Yeah.
But sometimes maybe you need to slough off something for something else. So clarity is also, I keep coming back to that.
Yeah, yeah, because you get so engulfed in the worry and the fear and everything, and you're so clouded with that, and he's been sending you messages one after another.
Exactly.
But you're so off over here worrying about something that doesn't even matter.
Yes.
Mm-hmm. That you're missing it.
You're missing it. Mm-hmm. Yes.
That's like the joke about the, there's like a guy on top of a roof during a flood or whatever. And he prays to God. He's like, hey, I need you to save me. And a boat comes.
Right.
And the guy's like, all right, man, come on, get in. He's like, no, I'm going to stay up here. Right. I'm waiting for God to send something.
Right. So the dude leaves. It was like six or seven times, wasn't it?
And then by the end, he finally dies and goes to heaven. And he's like, God, why didn't you save me? He's like, I sent you six boats.
That's exactly right. Yes, I love that story. Yeah, yes. I love that story. You know, the one thing that I do want to point out, and not to be, you know, the gloom, the doom, but I'm not sure that you all remember 9/11, what happened after we were hit in that way, and how the outpouring of support and the things that people were doing for one another.
Yeah, I was a freshman in college when that happened.
Man, I mean, the world changed, right? And I feel like we're there now, and there's so much anger and animosity and such, and I've completely shut it out. Ignorance is bliss. I mean, let's definitely not have like a political trivia night, because I'm going to fail miserably.
I'm right there with you.
But I did that on purpose, because I just needed to stop that maddening, people were just spewing hatred, right? But as a result, I see small businesses going by the wayside. I've already seen two of my favorites say, if something doesn't happen, I'm going to close. Well, what do? We read that. And if you feel impacted or you're upset, call immediately and see what you can do. Or with this social, use your social media in the right way and say, hey, guys, let's go today. Let's have lunch at this place, or let's go buy something from this place, because you don't want those places to close down. They worked so hard to get there. And now they're asking you, if they put that out there on social media, number one, it's hard for them to admit. They're not failing just as a result of everything that's going on. There's some hardship. So you need to be proactive. If you feel badly about it, you need to do something about it.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Yeah. I think we have it backwards sometimes, because I think people will want to use social media and they are always focused on like, hey, this is what these people are doing and it's wrong. And that's what they just preach that all day, all day, all day. But it's like, what are you even doing? Mm-hmm. You're just spewing out more hatred.
Yeah.
You know, you're not actually solving the problem.
That's right.
Who are you being as a person in the world? Are you going to support these businesses yourself instead of talking about how bad they're being treated?
Correct.
You know what I mean?
I love that. I love that. It starts with you. Remember that. Daniel is in the room. Daniel Lopez, everyone. And we gave him the topic, and he said, you know, this is something I started thinking about a while ago. Daniel, what would you like to, you need to come join Lucas on the mic.
Just throw in some 2 cents real quick.
What's going on, guys? How's it going? I'm here to give you my first mixtape.
Just kidding. It's not that kind of audition, man. It's just,
also,
sorry.
It's not the 90s.
Yeah, it's totally the 90s. 90s baby over here. Yeah, I think one thing that resonated with me was just the fact that you were talking right now, just a lot of anger and animosity. And I felt that like a lot. I felt that frustration. Sorry.
Hey, frustration, frush, we whatever. All get it.
I felt that. And I think the biggest thing that I had to do was just kind of like you said, I felt that I had to actually dig deep into my relationships and friendships that I valued. I think that was the only thing that made it feel like real life was digging into the relationships and friendships that I had, family. Cause I'm a people person. So, I need a tribe. I need a community. I need a friend group. You know, that's what gives me life. And that's why I love to pour my life into. So that's what helped me.
Good message.
Sure.
Mm. Yeah. Don't suffer in silence.
Hey, come again
alone.
Soon. Okay.
Come again soon. Come again soon, please. All right. I mean, biblically, there were a lot of these stories, right? If we read that and we can get some hope from that as well. And I encourage people, look, I mean, you've been watching this show. I mean, how many years have we been on now? I mean, people have just been watching and they want to know more and they want to get involved. You know what? Use us. Use our platform. I've always said, if God gives us this opportunity, which he has, we can be very public, whether it's on this podcast, through our work during the week, on the TV show, The Spiel. Use us. If we can help you any way, if you just have a message you need to get out, if it's a positive one, that's what we're there for.
Absolutely. Yeah, that's something that I really appreciate because I've made it a very conscious decision to be people-centered. And like I've said this before in a podcast, like everything else will come second to somebody who needs something.
Right.
So I really appreciate the fact that I'm afforded the opportunity here to just help whoever needs it. And then the fact that you're willing to bring people in that, you know, want to spread the positivity or get a message out that, of that sort. I really appreciate that.
Yeah. Being a part of something like this, where we can impact a lot of people is great. You know, always being a part of something that's bigger than yourself. I think you have to be a part of something that is bigger than yourself. Mm-hmm. No matter if it's your own company or if it's like a charity that you help out or your church or whatever, like just be a part of something because then you get perspective. Mm-hmm. And that's such a big deal. Whenever you're making decisions in light of things that are happening right now, mm-hmm. is if you have perspective of like the whole world or your community, you can make a much better impact and much better decisions in your daily life.
I agree. No doubt. I'm glad you brought that up. The charity, Rob brought one to us that he had done some work with, and man, is it an important one. The Marion Medical Mission. And that name is a little misleading. You don't know what that is exactly.
Right.
But it's something that's been going on for so long. And these people right here in our backyard have been going over to Africa and they found a way to build very inexpensive wells where these women and children do not have to walk 10 miles, hours, every single day only to find a mud hole or a tainted, you know, water source somewhere.
Full of bugs and...
Bugs, and they fill it up and they take it back to their families. And so many of those children and the villagers, they're all dying as a result of disease. And it's so easy. For $450, you could give them life, clean water.
And not only are the wells inexpensive, they are also made to be maintained by the villagers.
Yes.
So you don't have to send someone from here over there to fix it. It's not a complex well. It's something that's made with very basic materials that they can fix and maintain and repair themselves.
Yes.
And I love the whole thing about the village chooses a person, one of the people, to maintain the well. Mm-hmm. And anytime something goes wrong with it, the village will give them a chicken.
A chicken.
As payment.
Phenomenal.
Which it's such an amazing thing. I always love like thinking about other cultures.
Yes.
Because for us, they'd be like, well, where's my $4,000 or whatever.
Exactly.
Or, I want to get a Tesla. Over there, yeah. they're just like, I'd like to eat tomorrow.
Right.
So, and yeah. just the fact that they are providing the opportunity for them to get clean water, because I've seen the water.
Yeah.
And I saw a video of a kid drinking out of a water bottle, and he was literally drinking mud. Mm. And I can't even imagine that. And to him, that's like, that's normal everyday life.
Right.
I can't
right.
even imagine that.
So that's something we're going to be pushing. And there are so many things out there and so many ways you can help people. Do you guys know of anything else, or what's been on your heart, or what have you been following that you want to help?
There's been a lot of depression, like people just saying they're depressed. And
I've noticed that.
Like you were saying, anxious and anxiety. Mm-hmm. And I don't know what's causing that. I don't know if it's like the fact that everybody's out on social media and they're, mm-hmm.
That's they're what's depressed causing it.
Because they're trying to look like everybody else, which mm-hmm. everything on social media is fake anyway.
Correct.
People's profiles are fake because they're just like, they're going to post the happiest parts of their lives. They're not going to post what really happens. So mm-hmm. you can't compare yourself to that. Mm-hmm. So because I see it all the time. I'm friends with people who have kids in high school and younger and kids, and every single one of them, they're depressed and they're down and they hate their lives. And it's like, why are we so depressed? Like, mm-hmm. why is that such an issue?
Right.
And I don't know if comparison. That's what you're asking. Yeah. Yeah.
Yeah.
But
yeah.
How do you stop that? Like, how do you fix it?
Turn it off. Look away.
Teach people how to be grateful.
Yeah.
Yeah. Be grateful. Just look around, like take time to be grateful and look around and see what the world is, you know, just enjoy life. But also realize that when you go on social media, when you watch the news, it's literally just, and I've always said this, it's a big TV show.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
That's all it is. It's all fake. It's what would they say in that movie? Fugazi. It's not real. It's not real.
It's all sensationalized.
You watch these, yeah. Mm-hmm. You watch these news sources, and they all say the same thing. It's always negative. There's no positivity. They might throw in like one fluff story of something positive, but it's all fake. You see somebody's Instagram account, it's fake. Like it's for the most part.
What's the word? It's curated.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. So just know.
To show the best parts of their life.
Yeah. Just know that those things aren't legitimately, you can't touch it. It's not real. You know what I'm saying? So just realize that your life is in, you can control it, and just to enjoy every day, enjoy every minute, and just say thank you for things that you don't think about. Like wake up in the morning and say thank you for just waking up.
That's right.
Say thank you for having a car, you know, or if you don't have a car, say thank you for having 2 feet that you can walk on. Because there's always somebody that's worse off than you are. You know what I mean?
That's right.
Like drinking mud out of a water bottle.
Yeah, exactly.
No, so you were talking about everybody, or it's, you know, there's all the news places are all just negative, mm-hmm. right? So I don't know how many of the listeners or you guys even watch The Office, but the guy that played Jim, who's pretty much everybody's favorite on the show, because everybody's like, oh, I'm the Jim of The Office. You're like, no, you're not. You're the Dwight. But anyway, John Krasinski created his own show kind of on Instagram mm-hmm. where it's called Some Good News. And he basically, it's his little, it's like his own version of a news report, but all of it's good news.
Love it.
And he interviews people and talks to people, and it's all good news and it's all happy. So if you get a chance, definitely go check that out.
Unfortunately, this happened years ago. I worked in the news for 20 years, and it was very different back then. I mean, I would ensure that I had both sides. I don't think they worry with that anymore. As a matter of fact, it seems like their opinion is the only one that matters.
Right.
And I refused to be part of the story. Actually, was warned pretty sternly one time, if you do not do a stand-up in the middle of this story, you're fired. I didn't do it. I didn't do a stand-up. I didn't belong in that story. It wasn't about me.
Were you fired?
I was not then, not at that time. Right. But, maybe a little bit later. But
so be aware of idle threats from your employer.
Exactly. But the point that I wanted to make is producers really enjoyed it when it was bad news, bad news, bad news, and they could stack it. A station in Orlando tried it years ago to be the good news station. It just about went under.
Wow.
Because people say they don't want the bad news, mm-hmm. but then they watch it, you know, like this through mm-hmm. their peak hole, and they want to have things to talk about at the water cooler. But man, I can tell you, doing it 20 years, 5, 6, 10 o'clock at night, I was depressed. How could you not be when you hear all of those things? And when I left in 2009, I turned it off, and I don't think I've ever watched a newscast since.
I can't even imagine you depressed. Like, I've known you for about 6 years, and I can't even imagine you being, like, just a down person at all.
I was told to have no emotion. Here. no emotion.
Well, for the news, I understand last week that, we saw that.
During the Daniel fast, you saw the, I wasn't depressed. I was like a ticking time bomb, right?
Oh, I was terrified.
But I'm kind of mellowing out now, right? I'm kind of.
I didn't see any issue with you at all. Like, I don't know what everybody's talking about.
Dude, you came after me on the first day. Like, you came after me.
Well, that's because I hadn't eaten all day.
You didn't see any issue.
Not with her. No, I didn't have any problems with her. You have more dealings with her than I do, though.
Yeah, well. No, it was good. You're doing great. Hey.
Hey, thanks.
It's going to be great.
It's going to be great. How much longer do you have? 10 days?
Like 10 days.
Is an end to this?
Yeah, 21 Let's go. Days.
I didn't know that. I thought it was forever.
No. Are you kidding me?
Angie, we want you to eat sticks and leaves for the rest of your life.
No, I thought for sure you weren't going to go back.
The Daniel fast?
Yeah.
No, babe. 21 days. I'm out.
Oh, shoot. Okay, cool.
It's like an extended meditation.
No, you're doing great. And you this week, you've been a little bit more clear, I think.
I've been clearer. Been more,
yeah.
Yes. Yes. Monday was like a tidal wave of clarity.
Yeah. I came in here, couldn't find her. Mm-hmm. I could hear you. I just didn't know where you were at.
That's right. Yeah. I was talking to God.
Yeah.
Thank you. And you. And you and you and it. No, I'm kidding. All right. Well, apparently you have to go because you want to start like some vacation, right? Is that where you're going on vacation?
I wish it was vacation. That's in 2 weeks.
Well, what are you going to do?
Oh, wait. When I'm leaving?
Mm-hmm.
Oh, I'm going to film a project.
What is the project?
It's a medical device.
That's tomorrow. What are you going to do today?
Oh, we have to set up for it.
Oh, we have to set up for it. Yeah. That's code for we're going to do some Instagram bangers and look really good. Like no. Posing.
No,
and
I have to work.
Take our picture and, you know.
I have to, stuff. I've got to make sure, you know, Growing Media is floating, you know.
Absolutely.
Yeah, you're going to take a break so you can get some work done, you know.
There it is.
That's what I'm going to do, actually. Yeah, literally.
All right.
Yeah, because I haven't seen you at your computer in a while.
He was there this morning.
I've been.
Sure but I didn't see him there because I'm not coming in that
early. I've created 3 videos in the last past 3 days.
And how many sleeps have you gotten?
I've actually been getting pretty good sleep.
That's good.
Yeah. I can operate pretty good in 6 hours. So
great.
Yeah.
So we typically have some positive news or a Bible verse, a prayer or something to close out. Daniel, we're going to ask you to close out with something positive. Maybe your commitment statement, what you live by, if there's a verse that means a lot to you that would lift our viewers and listeners this morning, this afternoon, or whenever they're watching.
Tell us your why.
Yeah. Oh, man. Mm. That's going to be long.
Yeah.
Okay.
Because you can't just throw that out there.
Give us the abridged, non-Daniel version.
The abridged version is my why is because it all matters. Every small detail to every big detail, it all matters. So make a difference. Yeah, that's my why. And then kind of to end on a good note, I told Rob I came up with this the other day. The biggest change you can make is a small one.
Mm.
So
boom.
I want people to realize that the biggest change you can make is a small one. Because people always know if you start stacking small changes, your life changes. Big changes happen. So yeah.
Can you say changes a few more times?
That was nice.
Changes.
God's mercy unmoving. Great. Gotta go.
Peace. Come again soon.